Revelation chapter 11, first 11 verses. I call this great fear, great fear. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not. For it's given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I'll give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. They stood on their feet. I can only imagine. We have worldwide communication, visual communication now, and everybody's partying. They're all happy because these preachers are dead, and they get up. They've been laying in the street 3.5 days, and they stand up, and the whole world sees it. They've been rejoicing. They've been making merry over the death of the Lord's prophets, and they stand up in the middle of that street. I think that someday we're going to have such a satisfaction of these things when truth reigns. And then not only that, they see them go up in a great cloud. It sort of reminds me, if you remember the account of the book of Daniel, Belshazzar, and how his countenance changed. They were drinking and making merry and partying. They had the cups of gold and silver from the temple of God, and they were praising the gods of gold and silver. And if you'll recall the account, then a man's hand came and it wrote upon the wall, "Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin," meaning that God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it, and thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Thy kingdom's divided and given to the Medes and the Persians in that moment. And so when I see these accounts, and I know something about this. I've one moment been in this life, just as we're sitting here right now, and it literally in the blink of an eye, everything changes, like a tragic accident or some great event. One moment someone's here, the next moment they're just dead. Or maimed, you see. And these things are true in all our lives, because even though we read these accounts of like, we're all weighed in the balance, every one of us. May not be as dramatic as what occurred there, but we're all weighed in the balance. Because God is not mocked. Not ever. And that's an amazing thing. And it's come to me more in these latter years than ever before of what I call the reaping and the sow. We reap exactly what we sow, and we see these things, and then we wonder when what we should do is remember what we sowed, you see. And understanding that principle of reaping and sowing, it'll change your life. These things that we're reading, they'll change your life. Because there is no past, you might say, in this life of sin save Christ Jesus. It's the only way. And you better not trod that grace underfoot. I've always thought, who would dare crucify him afresh? And I believe it's this understanding, it's this great fear that separates the children of God from others. This great thankfulness. You know, it says in the book of Revelation, God speaks of those that he's going to spare. And he uses three words that are very poignant and very glorious if you're amongst them. And he calls them the called and the chosen and the faithful. He said, but these things won't happen to the called and the chosen and the faithful. And these thoughts, they lead us to a great doctrine. A doctrine that's just never preached anymore. And it's the doctrine of the wrath of God. And this book that we're in this morning, this book of Revelation, it's filled with the wrath of God. And yes, we read about Christ, and we read in 1 John, God is love, and we read of all these things, God so loved the world. But then we come to the end of the matter, and it all comes down to the wrath of God. God's wrath poured out upon the earth. You can go to another 11 if you turn over to Revelation 19:11. He said, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. I just read an article this week on about the how the churches are in America. And of course, we pretty much know these things now. And how the church has destroyed itself from within. And they've done it by a love, peace, and a feel-good doctrine. They've taken those things out of context, and they have destroyed. They have a name for it. It's MTD, moralistic therapeutic deism, is what they call it. And it's watered down, feel good, fake Christianity. It's said to be, and I believe it, about 40% of the churches in the world today. This MTD. And what it is, it's God's love without God's wrath, you see. And if you have that, you don't have God at all. Because as you've heard me say, so power always comes with two elements, the negative and the positive. And one without the other equals no power at all. So you must have these anti-elements. And that's why if you've never been a sinner, well, sainthood means very little. Grace means very little. But when I look back on my own life and I look at the life of sin and the sin nature, well, then I see how marvelous and how wonderful that the grace is, the grace of it all. You see, without wrath, what meaning grace? And that's Calvary right there. That was Calvary. That electrifying moment of Golgotha. God's wrath poured upon his only begotten son. God's wrath poured on his own son. By which, and the only way that you and I, any man, may ever receive grace. It says that we're chosen in Christ Jesus. This is an amazing thing to me. And I gave it great thought this week. were chosen in Christ Jesus, those that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the earth. And I've thought much about Revelation. A lot of folks are pre and post and a lot. I don't know how much of this you've looked into, but a lot of people think that Revelation's already occurred. Some believe it's in the process. Some believe it's yet to occur. And I confess to you, I don't know. But I know he says that I was in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, if you can wrap your head around that, then you consider such. And the reason I say that is because, and this is very hard for a man to understand, because God, now listen, God never works because of. Almost everything we do in our life is a reaction. It's because of something. You cooked yesterday because of something that occurred, and so you took the bull by and so almost everything that we do in this life is reactionary. And so it's very hard for us reactionary creatures, us because of creatures, to understand something that never acts because of. Yeah, we reap what we sow, but that's because of us, not because of God, you see. God never works because of. Some would say Christ need have died for the fall of man, because man fell and Adam fell, and so, but that lamb we was slain before the foundation of the earth. I don't have an understanding of it. It's like in Romans 9 with Jacob and Esau. He said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, the children being yet in the womb, having done neither good nor evil. And people always say, well, he had foreknowledge. Well, he did have foreknowledge, but he didn't act because of foreknowledge. And so if you can wrap your mind around that thing, you see that I was already in Christ before the foundation of the earth. And so we need to quit boxing God into our tiny, finite minds. And if you'll do that, you'll receive a greater understanding of the supernatural things of God. Loose him and experience the infinite, the infinite. You see, I think that we have allowed our religion to become natural, carnal, earthly, fleshly. And that's why you have come up with this MTD, this feel good. It has to do with feelings, and it has to do with touching, and all of these things, when actually our religion is anything but that. We'll all accept all this power of the air. We've got cell phones this morning. We're recording the sermon, and we can pull up the news on the computer, and we have televisions and such. And we think this is a great miracle. But it's nothing compared to God. He said a third of the stars are going to fall from heaven. I had somebody this week, you know my pet phrase is words mean things. And they said, oh, well, it'd be like an angel. And I said, well, maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, a third of the angels aren't good. So you see how we've taken the term angel. Oh, an angel. Yeah, well, what about that death angel? Yeah, what about the death star? Well, what about a third of the angels that God cast into the bottomless pit? You see what I'm saying? So let your mind free, turn God loose. Why do we relegate God? And I don't belittle this at all. Why do we must we relegate God to a book? We close the book and God's gone. We open the book and God's here. We open, close the book and God's gone. And we do that in our religion. We do it in our minds. We seem to want to confine our God to this earth when he's infinite. He's infinite. we seek but earthly miracles. They were always looking for the earthly miracles. Turn the water into wine and make more bread and walk on water and do all these. When that's really not much at all when you read the things of God. He created the earth out of nothing. He spoke. We were in him before the foundation of the earth. The Lamb that was crucified before the foundation of the earth. And you read the book of Revelation, and it's almost, it's beyond human comprehension, you see. He said that eye hath not seen. He said ears not heard. All the great men of God that I've read, this is very interesting to me. At some point, all of these men, and I'll not go down the whole list, they all experience some sort of supernatural rapture in God in their life at one point. Even the Stoic, one of the most Stoic men I've ever read, matter of fact, it's almost depressing, John Owens, the great Puritan, even he experienced a supernatural rapture of the mind and body in Christ. And they all at some point experienced, as the Apostle Paul, whether in the body or out of the body, he said, I can't tell. But he said, God knoweth. He said, what, some 13 or 14 years ago, you remember the account over in Corinthians? He said, whether in the body or out, I don't know. Have you ever experienced such supernatural delight? I have. I remember some of those instances, and it was unearthly. It was like being set free, and it's truly a place of rapture. And so all this brings me back to the wrath of God. And that is much like Elijah. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? All of these things that we read, and it's all earthly. It's all just flesh and blood and men. Yes, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, we shouldn't, but it seems like that's all we do. Who's on the Lord's side? I glory. Do you glory in the Lord? I thought about singing that. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. What is it? There to the cross was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Do you glory in the Lord? You see, God wasn't created for man. Well, God wasn't created at all. But you and I, these human beings, as you might even say, born out of a due time, we were created for God. And we've but one way to him. There's only one way, and that's Christ Jesus the Lord. Never get misled. I hear folks all the time thinking that they can pray to God the Father without God the Son, because you're wasting your breath. If you think that you can get to God the Father without God the Son, you'll never get there. It'll never occur. And that's why a Jew, under any dispensation, until you have God the Son, it doesn't matter if it's Islam or Judaism, without God the Son, there is no way to God the Father. And we must always remember, as he said in 1 John, that he came in the flesh. And that's how you try the spirits. Anyone that says he didn't come in the flesh is Antichrist. He came in the flesh. Okay? For what purpose? We're told in the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation of the wrath of God. If you want to look at it, you're free to. And the first three vials and these angels, these men, the first one, that the men of the earth were given blood to drink. They turned the water into blood. And the Bible says, and then they were torched with fire. I'm talking about the wrath of God. And then it said that they so wanted to die, death wouldn't come, that they gnawed their tongues for pain. And then the most amazing thing of the account is, and yet not repent. They're drinking blood, getting burned alive, gnawing their tongues for pain, and will not repent. Is it any wonder, as I've preached and people say, oh, you shouldn't, when you see people burning in hell, that you joy? Because that's where they belong. God doesn't make mistakes. And I speak these things that you not forget the God of the Bible. I like in Revelation 19:13, it says that his name, you remember this? His name is the Word of God. That one on the white horse that we read of in verse 11 of chapter 19, his name is the Word of God. The Lord that shall return in flaming fire, we read of in Thessalonians, taking vengeance on those that didn't obey him. And all that, though God is love, he's also wrath. The wrath of God, the forgotten doctrine. Read the whole book. Read the whole Bible. Because there's no power in this book unless you read the entire thing. And I thought about this great contrast. I go, because I'm just about done and I'm going to close the book. I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to see that the earth was dark and without form and void. And I'm going to see that he takes one man and he puts him in one garden. And then I'm gonna have this remembrance that you have one man and one garden. And I just finished this astounding book of Revelation that's so supernatural. And so I start in Genesis, the beginning. And I'll go all the way through and I'll get once again to this astounding book of Revelation. Sights unseen and known to man. You might say from creation to destruction, from love to wrath. And then in the midst of it all, in the midst of the Word of God, there's Calvary. Kind of like the waypoint in the middle of the road that ties it all together. Reminds me of the three, what they call, I forget the name of it, the three brothers or the three sisters in when... And good, he said, take care of the good Samaritan, take care of this guy and I'll come back. And they dropped him off at the inn. And so right in the middle we have this inn, Christ Jesus, to bring us together. Between that one, that first Adam that fell, and between the book of Revelation, and between the love, and between the wrath, we have this man in the middle. We sing, the man in the middle. Christ Jesus, and he ties it all together. Christ, you, me, our lives on this earth. How can we not sit astonished? Are we not compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses? Or how can we not even sit in great fear? And I can only end by saying glory to his name. How glorious, and how, as Brother Sammy Allen, you say, how glorious, how marvelous. All of this, the fear, the wrath, the love, the hate, the fire, the heavens, the angels, good angels, bad angels, good stars, bad stars, devils, demons, all of this. How incredible. How utterly incredible. And men have no fear. They said there's no fear of God before their eyes.